Welcome to episode 49 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome along. I'm Chris and I am joined today by Ian.
Hello.
And that's all.
No strange hellos this week, seeing as you criticised me.
You must have listened back to it, though.
I thought I sounded fine.
Definitely going in the best bits, that one.
Hello.
It was pretty much like that, exactly.
Hello.
So let's crack on. We've got a lot to get to today. Google have been chatting through lots of stuff, so we'll come on to them in a second. But we have just seen some stats on British net use and how web orientated we now are.
Boom is the code word for this. So 65% more time online than 3 years ago, and that's British web users. According to research of net habits, I'm not quite sure what that means.
It's hard to say, isn't it? Is that home, work, whatever? I mean, pretty much most time I spend on the net now.
Average surfer spends...
Sad?
I'm just going to dwell over it. Average surfer spends 22 hours and 15 minutes on the net each month.
Okay, well, it's changed month to day. I guess I'm not average.
No. And social networking has gained. IM drops, but email is surprisingly still rising.
Yeah, seeing as that's probably the weakest form of net communication going, really.
I'm not surprised about IM. For me, that has definitely dropped. I'm definitely more Twittering and Facebooking than I am IMing at the moment.
Yeah, as a means of keeping in contact, but it's very useful on things like Skype IMs and...
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's still got... It's still very, very useful.
It's like Flash.
It's not like it's used as a chat issue anymore, because like Facebook's taken that over pretty much.
It's like Flash, still useful and it won't disappear.
Exactly. Okay, so we've also seen this week that Newsbin was the search engine for binary news groups, and it was taken to court and it has now gone out of business. Apparently it was owing the MPA 230,000 in costs.
Ouch.
Yes, and also a software development house it owed over £500,000 to.
Allegedly.
This is all allegedly, and we don't know what's going on really, but...
But bizarre, because when they went to court, there was a whole lot of talk about how they've made £1.5 million out of this and they were minted.
That's probably being put across by the opposition, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, so now it's closed on May 19th. The story didn't end there, because the owners confirmed that the actual source code and main databases had been stolen. Apparently by outside sources, not an internal job. And just as another follow-up, I have had an email from these new owners, in inverted commas, saying that they have, yes, they've stolen the source code and all the databases, and they're trying to make it sound like I should be happy about this. We won't be up for a very short while, COS. Things need to be done for start, blah, blah, blah. So we need to get a cool domain name.
And we need to hack on the code somewhere to make it run.
And they've called themselves... Well, he's called himself Mr. White, Team R-Dogs, Newsbin 2. And yes. I'm just saying, where the hell is my data? And also, you know, is there payment information in this?
No. Because at Newsbin were very careful that the payment information was always held externally.
Yep.
So there was nothing held payment-wise within the system.
Nevertheless, it's a bunch of criminals have got my email address and my details. That's pretty much what it is, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they've basically got your email address. And I guess even if they turned around and sold it on, it would still be a bit of an issue.
Potentially names and addresses of everyone that was using it and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they make it sound like it's a really good thing, but effectively the courts have said this thing is illegal. They've stolen it, which is illegal, and it's no more... Whereas Newsbin was relatively legitimate, or was viewed as legitimate, this is definitely now not.
No. The only thing I don't know is that, I mean, they talked about how they were hacked a number of weeks or months ago, and that's when the code was stolen, but, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
It's all a bit convenient.
it wouldn't surprise me. We've seen it before when a popular torrent or news bin, or sorry, a news group site goes down, there's usually two or three others pop up in its place.
I would rather of them just open source the code, put it out online and left it at that.
A lot of people asked them to do it and they kept on saying no.
Yeah, so we'll see where the story goes, I guess, whether it does end up being internal. I'm sure there'll be some sort of investigation goes on.
Are you using any alternatives?
No.
Okay.
Are you?
NZB Matrix I found quite reliable. So if you're still looking for NZB files to get your Usenet fix, then NZB Matrix has been quite good for me so far.
Okay. Okay, so there's a bit of extra news later on, but the big news of the week was the Google I/O event in America. So this is where Google sort of outline what they've been doing and what they're planning on doing and highlight
It's a big dev conference, isn't it? So this is more the developer side of things.
So there's between, 5,000 and 7,000 odd devs going along to this thing each year?
And I think there's two this year there was two keynotes. So there was like
over 2 days.
Day one and day two keynote.
And then plenty of their sessions, which I've looked at their keynotes and heard all the main stories, but I haven't looked at all the sessions and stuff. I felt that was overkill.
No,
but just to let the listeners know that we did spend.
No, I watched the keynote. See, the
almost
one that annoyed
3 hours
me
over 2 days, wasn't it?
You know what annoyed me? Why did they split into 10-minute YouTube files?
There was a file for all of it.
Yeah, but I think it wasn't Google that put that out.
I think it's in there now. I think
it wasn't.
I found
the time.
It was very annoying because there was no way of sort of seeing, if it would have been fine, I'd list it as a schedule and then you just click through them. But it wasn't
bizarre.
Like that, was it?
It was just bizarre. A company like Google makes it hard to find.
It was.
Their keynotes.
I don't know that I've heard everything of day two. In fact, I know I haven't, but I've definitely heard the whole of the keynote.
Well, some bits they couldn't. Well, we'll come on to that.
Yeah, sure. So one of the big things from day one was the WebM project. Now, this is Google's video codec. Effectively.
Yeah, so that was a VP8 video codec that they bought last year.
Yeah, they bought Onto Technologies and they have made the announcement that they will be open sourcing that codec and open sourcing everything around it, which means that it can be used as a web standard and they're hoping that it will be taken on board as a web standard. And Adobe jumped in there and said they would help distribute it all to however many millions of people by the year end. There's still plenty of skepticism and whether they actually own all the rights to distribute this thing.
That LA MPEG or MPEG LA group, who have got some ownership around the 264 standard, are saying they're looking at it closely because they believe they do have some ownership in here as well. So who knows?
Who knows? I mean, it's certainly out of that speech, I felt quite positive about it, that this was offering an open and clear way forward.
Definitely.
But it sounds like someone might scupper it with their goddamn legal stuff.
Yeah. Well, it looks like there's two choices at the moment. It's either going down the WebM route or going down the 264. And I do wonder if you'll just get companies doing both at some point just to make sure they're covered.
I was looking this week and it's not actually a big issue to stack up source files inside HTML5.
No.
So you can have different fallback options.
Yeah, and there's quite a few video plugins coming out now that will... for example, I was looking on the kind of 264 side of things, and it also supported, I'm trying to remember the name, I forgot it here. It's an HTML5 video GS, open source HTML5 video player. And it will try and, the supported formats are like 264, OGG, and the WebM format's currently supported. But for Internet Explorer and Opera, because they don't support one of those formats, it will fall back and use a Flash format.
But Flash obviously supports all the major formats as well. That's part of
But there's a lot of people don't run Flash, so
yes. So it looks like there's a way forward. It looks like also that people are going to take it away from us, but we'll let the lawyers sort that out, I guess.
Time will tell.
Okay, Google Wave has been opened up again. The big theme for day one and I guess day two as well was day one was just saying how everything needs to be open on the web because that leads to innovation. I mean, if you listen through it, they did prattle on about that endlessly. And they made digs at Apple. I mean, I'd heard stories before that there were big digs at Apple throughout the whole conference, but actually it was day two that they really got laid into.
Day two was constant, but
it was.
I'm sure I'll mention it.
Yeah. But yes, yeah, so the big thing was Google opening up things, and Google Wave is now open to developers to integrate with, work on the API and integrate it with other APIs. So,
but also you can just now go and get a sign up. It was still a kind of semi-closed beta that people were relying on invites up until last week.
So you can now do and do it. Again, we haven't used it since we tried out through the beta, have we?
Nope.
They were trying to outline where people had used it.
Yeah.
But it all sounded a little bit weak and fuzzy. Well,
I've put in tech looking for a purpose. It really still feels like that to me. The only thing that I have added in, you can add it to your Google Apps for your domain now. So I have added it into ours. I can see us probably never using it, but it's there.
I think we said at the time, didn't we, that we could see maybe a collaborative business document here. But
I think
there's probably thing, you know, I think actually this new Google Docs implementation is probably as much as a company would need.
Exactly. So again, I think that's one to. I hate to use it. I was going to use Buzz, but that means something else now. But I think certainly the kind of heat round Google Wave has certainly dropped. I think everybody was really excited at the start, and it's now just. Ugh.
But then again, we have seen the Carré, you know, the live Carré move into Google Docs, and I'm sure that comes on the same kind of, you know, technology feed.
Yep.
And there's some clever people out there, and sometimes things pop out of nowhere.
Definitely.
Based on, you know, the availability. Okay, so Google Buzz API is they've released the API for Google Buzz and allowed devs to access it. I haven't got anything else to say on that, really.
Well, the only thing, I actually like Google Buzz. I do find myself dipping in and out quite often now. But you have to visit Gmail. I still think it was wrong to have it in Gmail. I think it should have been standalone, and I think that was the big security issue right at the start, was having it in Gmail, which I see as private, and then all of a sudden automatically sharing to people that I want to keep private. That was the bit that was wrong.
I think they've solved a lot of that now, but the access point is still Gmail.
Yeah, I still think if they'd spun it off into its own place, I think it would make more sense. But at least now, because we've got the API, you've got TweetDeck and Seismic have added it in. So it's almost like a kind of, you know, I don't have to rely on visiting Gmail now. You know, I can use third-party apps to see my buzz.
One of the big reasons I never used it was because I used, I have an apps, you know, Google Apps for my main domain for work and things, which is the one I actually go and access. And that doesn't have Buzz integrated with it.
No.
So I never log into my other Gmail accounts because I just have them all pointing towards my one.
There was some rumour that Buzz was going to come to Google Apps as well, but it didn't.
No, I think that's probably because they had to fix it.
Well, they have made a commitment about 2 weeks ago that by the end of this year, that all the kind of all the Google property, so all the different applications will be available for your Google Apps for domain. So I think over the rest of the year, they are going to commit to bringing everything else in and making it available.
Hmm.
So it should appear eventually.
Yeah, and you can see how they need to. There's a delay on getting them into the apps because the apps is designed for corporate entities, effectively.
Yes.
And they don't want to rush stuff in there that could get them into trouble.
Definitely.
Okay. I found quite intriguing a Chrome Web Store. And
yes.
I think this is all part of their kind of the Chrome OS push.
Definitely, that's where that was for me.
So it's a website that, or a store rather, that picks up on web applications. So they can be any applications, but you know, Google Docs. They highlighted a number actually, and they were showing some pretty impressive modern applications that are being built in HTML5 part of their demos.
Yeah, TweetDeck looked very sweet.
It's getting clever people working with HTML5 does sort of open your eyes as to what is possible.
And obviously, I mean, TweetDeck's an Adobe Air app just now, but it's looking like it looks like they can replace almost everything in HTML5.
Yeah, I hadn't realised quite how many sort of API layers there are below HTML5, which is the key bit. I was looking at HTML5 and thinking, well, there's the canvas tag and all that, but actually, the main point is that a website can now access in, you know, carefully controlled ways your local file systems, your cameras, and
it has made the browser the almost like the perfect app hosting environment
going forward. I mean, it's Google have proved that it can be fast and responsive. The you know, cloud has proved that it can, you know, deliver apps and stuff. So yeah, I think it's definitely the way forward.
Mm. And I think having this app store, you know, obviously, I mean, the things it brings for Google is obviously there'll be a load of people. I mean, if you get Chrome OS and straight away you've got a store there full of apps that you can download and install, which will automatically update in the background, you know, and it's just a whole load of win.
You know, it shows you how viable Chrome OS can be.
Definitely. Because I think a lot of people were struggling with the whole, you know, it's just going to be a, you know, it's only if you work in the cloud. And I think over the next year you'll see with HTML5 that it's not. And obviously, a lot of it's dependent on internet information, but I think you're going to have apps that you can, you know, based on HTML5, work in a browser and work in local files.
Yeah, I certainly had no idea that you could do all of that. I don't know where we can point people to. I think they're only in their sandboxing at the moment, aren't they, rather than
generalists. Yeah, and I mean, we can put a link into the HTML5 standards, which are 800-odd pages. And
you don't want to look at them.
No, but there is a book coming out at the start of June, which is it's almost like a primer for web developers. I think it's only like 80-90 pages long, but it's focusing on this is what HTML5 is and this is how you can leverage it.
Yeah, and I'm sad to say I am a web developer and me not knowing this stuff, but then I guess it's relatively new stuff that's not relevant every day at the moment.
HTML5 for developers. No, I wouldn't find it quickly.
We'll figure it out. I mean, I have to say that there's coming up for developer, you know, web developers, there is a lot to get on with. There's, you know, HTML5 plus CSS3 and a whole ton of other stuff. It's it's pretty exciting times.
Yep, HTML5 for web designers, it's called. And you can pre-order it now and it's out in June.
You could be pushing and pimping something that's really bad.
It's if you go to books.alistapart.com, the Alistapart is a fairly well-renowned website for design.
Okay.
And I think the only reason I picked up on it was there's been a lot of push from some pretty well-known designers saying this is a really good book. And indeed, Jeffrey Zeldman has done a foreword on it. So I think it's safe to say it should be, as I said, a good primer for getting up to speed with what it can do.
Good stuff. So that's an app store.
But then again, I've pimped crap before, so
just not change the habit of a lifetime.
No.
Okay, another kind of HTML5 and CSS3 type thing is the Google Font Directory. So part of the new code, you know, the new infrastructure means that you can actually have embedded fonts effectively.
Yeah.
So rather than your Arials and your Vedanas and the other, I don't know, six other common fonts that live across different operating systems, you are now able to embed fonts for use in a website. And again, they showed how, you know, you can make web pages that just don't look anything like web pages.
Yeah. So there's currently 18 fonts there, and variants on the fonts as well. And some of them look quite smart. You know, they're not just a lot of the time, I think back to, you know, when you first got, you know, Windows XP and you go in the fonts directory if you installed Office, and some of them were awful. You know, like, I'm never going to use any of these, but some of them are quite smart. And as you're saying, just that different look and feel, you know, rather than relying on images to give you that different text font.
It's definitely the way forward. Like I said, there are only about 18 in there, which is definitely not enough. But with the correct platform there, and allowing people to put their own fonts in there, I'm sure the direction is right on this.
Yeah, but remember, this was, these are open source ones. You can go to Typekit, and they've done this in conjunction with Typekit. So if you go to Typekit, there are a lot more than 18, and obviously these are paid for.
Do you subscribe for each site you use? I haven't really looked at Typekit, so no.
I think there are different, I'm just going to click on pricing and tell you. So there's a trial which is free, and that supports 25,000 page views per month, trial library, one website, two fonts per site. And you need to put a Typekit badge on somewhere.
Right.
It's a personal, perfect for your blog, 50,000 page views per month, personal library access, two websites, five fonts per site, and then it goes on to something like Portfolio, unlimited websites, unlimited fonts per site, full library access, 500,000 page views a month, and that's for $50 a year, so not that much, you know, if you're a developer.
That, I mean, and again, so that's the whole library. Do they say how many fonts that is? I mean,
full
that
library. I'm going in by style, and it says Serif 116, Sans Serif 258, Script 53, and Decorative 58.
So there's definitely a bit more choice. And again, that leaves it open to, you know, that's paid for options, which again, for some people, would be very useful.
Yeah, and some of them, I mean, I've just went into like the handwriting font just there. There were 60 odd different handwriting fonts. Some of them are actually really, really slick.
And that works across the major browsers. I don't know about Internet Explorer at the moment.
No, but I think there was a fallback, wasn't there? So it wouldn't just be your site failed.
Yes, but as a designer, you never want to see a situation where you can't really control what your site looks like.
No.
But yes, again, you can do that. But it was quite like the Google dig at talking about modern browsers, specifically kicking Internet Explorer into the ground on that one. That was quite funny.
So that was day one.
Yeah, it was day one. So they ended up talking. There was that whole business of their WebKit, wasn't there? The Google WebKit and integration into the VMware, showing how apps can live completely in the cloud and how easy it is to set up. That was the geekiest thing I think I've ever seen.
To be honest, the day one keynote, and I think this is the difference between, if you look at the keynotes that Apple doing, I mean, I've not seen any Microsoft ones, and shame on me, I should probably go and watch one of their keynotes as well. I remember seeing some Steve Ballmer stuff and I just couldn't stomach it anymore. But the Apple keynote is focused on like a big product. So every, you know, WWDC is coming up in a couple of weeks' time, and it will be, everybody's expecting an iPhone launch. Previously, it's been an iPhone launch, or it's been a, you know, a brand new product that they've launched there. And I think that's always been used as a consumer, you know, launch platform.
That's exactly it. But that, you know, that's not really a keynote to a developer.
No,
audience,
but
though,
but they do have, you know, lots of other developer focused events that you pay the money to go and actually take part in.
Yeah,
Google tends to use this, or certainly the last couple of years now, they've used this as a bit of both, but they certainly focus more on the developer side of things. Day one was dry.
that's certainly that demo they did with the accounting app.
Well, if you think our 10-minute overview has been dry, just try watching the 2-hour keynote.
Yes, and the speedy VMware guy.
Day two, however, was pretty interesting.
The day of the Apple slag.
Yeah. Are you going to take us through this again?
I think you can take us through this one.
Okay. So, and this was split into two parts. There was it was all focused on Android, but it was specifically on the kind of Android mobile platform was the first half, and then they launched into Google TV. So, very similar to Apple, they started off with some stats. Now, we covered this last week, didn't we? Was it the week before? How the Android had overtaken iPhone?
Yes, it was yet last week, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I guess what surprised me is I knew it was on lots of devices, but it's now on 60 compatible devices, which is...
They lined them all up as well, didn't they? Showed them.
Exactly. 21 OEMs, 48 countries, 59 carriers. So it's no, when you see that kind of figure, it's no surprise that they have overtaken iPhone.
And I've been thinking about that since we said it last week, and you sort of said, yeah, well, that's going to be expected. But the big thing for that is that the market then for developing on Android suddenly becomes far more attractive.
Oh no, absolutely.
It's quite a big deal to have that tipping balance, you know.
Well, maybe it's just me. I never expected to be anything different. Apple were out the gate first. They came out with something that kind of blew most folk away, and it's taken 2-3 years to catch up.
But if that balance has tipped, can they recover that?
Well,
or is that the end of their innovative bit, you know?
And I think we'll probably have got a couple of views on that as we go through the different bits and pieces. I think it's definitely things have changed. Another important announcement they made was 100,000 daily activations of Android devices every day. And I think that's only 3 months on from when they were 50,000. So there's a real momentum around Android at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah. So the shot across the bow of Apple, Android is going faster than every other smartphone maker except rim makers of the BlackBerry. And they've now got to 50,000 applications in the Android marketplace, which I think had been there for quite a while anyway. I don't think that was particularly fresh news. I remember you had said that in one of the podcasts a few weeks ago.
It was a while back now. I'm still surprised that BlackBerry is doing so well. I mean,
it's the corporate side.
Yeah, it's not the consumer market, is it?
I mean, certainly at my workplace, it's just, you know, that is this corporate default.
So, and I guess when a workplace signs up, you know, they have to refresh their phones every couple of years.
And it just brings so many sales.
10,000 sales.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, if you think back, that's where Microsoft got most of their sales from. It was the business side of things.
Yeah, I mean, every time they release Office and whatever, and businesses upgrade, that's massive sales, yeah.
One interesting thing, when we covered off the stats last week, and I was saying it was no big surprise, because quite a few of the Apple guys were pouring scorn on the stats. I did see in one of the, I think it was in MacBreak Weekly through the week, they'd done an investigation into the actual, you know, who had done the research. And it turns out, and I can't remember if it's Sprint or Verizon, I get confused with all the American carriers, but seemingly they were doing a 2-for-1 on Android devices. So it was buy one, get two. So that that seemed to have skewed things slightly over the last month and certainly gave a big push.
Yeah, but as if Apple don't skew their market, you know.
No, but I'm just going, I'm just purely in sales. If I walk in and buy something and I walk out with two from
as they say, lies, damn lies and stats, isn't it?
And so somebody done a bit of research and found over the last month, it's either Sprint or Verizon were doing 2-for-1s on Android and their sales were astonishing.
It makes very little difference though whether you believe the stats or not. The case is the momentum is that. And you know, you can't change that.
So no doubt I'm going to pronounce this wrongly, but Froyo.
I would say Froyo. They said Froyo.
Yeah, but they're Daft Yanks. In fact, the presenter was a particularly annoying Daft Yank.
It's their product.
Yeah, but I'm going to call it Froyo. So Froyo is the next version of Android. And it had picked up some demos beforehand, so I'm going to quickly rattle through these. I don't want to dwell too much. So Microsoft Exchange support, well, hey. Application data backup API. So seemingly one of the issues that's always been on Android is just how you back things up. Seemingly the actual fact that the iPhone you had to plug in and you actually had the backup sitting in your machine was seemingly a bit of a strong point compared to Android. And I don't know enough about Android to know if that's an issue or not, but that was certainly some of the commentary I was picking up, that it was good to see this finally getting added in. A cloud to device messaging API. So you can send a message to Google servers and trigger an Android intent is the way they describe it. So if you send directions to your phone, it opens up in Maps. If you send I guess they're looking at other intents, it'll automatically open up in the app rather than just put up a notification. So I think that was the first of many Apple prods that they had that day.
It's the way they said it. They said we're doing notifications in a way that's built for a multitasking device rather than something that fixes.
But they were also saying we're doing it properly. You know, we're doing it properly rather than a kludge for multitasking.
Did look good though. Clever.
Oh no, definitely. Definitely good. Tethering and portable hotspot, which we'd covered before.
Yeah.
What I thought was quite nice was the demo with the iPad tethered to the Android phone.
Again, diggy.
Also a pointless one, seeing as I can go and buy a 3G iPad.
Yes.
You know, so I was like, well, okay. The one that stood out to me was the JavaScript performance improvement. So there was they did a demo that when it was well out, it was massively outperforming the iPad.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see, because Froyo's started coming out for Nexus One phones. So it'll be interesting, because they said this was all based on current hardware. This is just software only. You'll see this improvement.
Yeah, so they showed the exact same hardware running exact same code, but on the older Eclair, I think it's called at the moment, their current operating system.
Yep.
So Froyo was, it was quite a clever little.
And I do remember the other pop at this point, because he says, I wonder if we'll get this one in the Apple store, which got everybody laughing. And he says, oh, we don't need to bother. It's a web app. And you were just like, oh. And it was honestly, I think that was the bit that was annoying for me. To me, Google are big enough without having to have like constant pops. It just sounded childish at the end.
It was funny at the start. It did get tiresome. You thought, oh, I know what's coming now. And,
exactly.
And I think it's just because these big companies have got a bit annoyed with Apple's strong stance on things, I guess. I don't know.
I think it's just because they've come out of a fairly weak position 10 years ago, haven't they?
Let's face it, Google are a bit geeky as well, and geeks never let go of things, do they?
No. we talked about from the day one things like Chrome Web Store and add it into the browser. So they've added in a couple of things specifically on the Android browser. So support for the tilt functionality in the phone, so it knows when you've tilted, so things like a map can now tilt.
So a map can always be facing north and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and they've also got support for the microphone in the browser. And I thought it was a really stunning demo, because the guy was, I mean, first of all, he did a search. Was it Barack Obama and
Barack Obama sitting with the French president at the G8 yep. summit,
and back came images, and then they did it was the Golden Gate Bridge at sunset, and back came those images, and they also did a call. So they were talking about doing a call, and it could trigger a call, and that was another intent.
And so again, this is all how HTML5 leverages APIs, isn't it?
Yep, but it was a Google Translate.
That's good.
Can you help me find the nearest hospital? And it translated it into
French.
And it was the speed. Obviously, I don't know if it's accurate, but
yeah, you don't know how much of this is tweaked and whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what you're seeing, but it was another really impressive demo. They then went on to Flash Playback, and it was all this nonsense about Nickelodeon and whatever. But it was a big thing was they had Adobe on stage, and hey, we're all for open internet. Android apps can support the SD card now, which I thought it could already, but there you go. One-step updating of apps. Now, I thought this was actually quite an interesting demo, because when they started this off, I thought, well, that's... And he did say he was embarrassed that they had to that they got applause yes. for this. But it was then, you can say, automatically update. So as an update comes out, it would just automatically push down an update.
Yeah, so I assume really before slick. You just had to update each application individually. But,
yes.
I mean, again, so he obviously said that's missing. But even I was... I guess you get to choose whether you keep that app up to date, but there's been quite a few updates on the Apple apps that I've had that I've thought, I wish I hadn't updated that, because I'm not enjoying
it. Yeah, but it was an option
per
app. So it looks like you yes. can go in and say, toggle it to say always update.
Yes, just, a good update, that one.
I just thought that was a really nice way, because, again, back to Chrome OS, if you think you've got a really nice connected environment, if you look at the desktops right now, you've got an app on it, and how do you know you're up to date? You know, there's patches come out and everything, and if the operating system's taking care of all that and seamlessly updating all your apps in the background, yes, there's probably a risk that you either might lose something or you'll get an update you didn't want, but how rare is that? I'd probably rather be up to date than not.
The only thing I have an issue with auto updates is when it chooses to do them for you.
Yeah.
I hate it when I'm busy on something or watching a video and
yes.
Well, suddenly it starts stuttering because something's updating in the background.
And that's like a workplace. You know, I'll come in tomorrow morning and there'll be an update comes out. And within 20 minutes I need to reboot my machine. Yeah. Very annoying.
After having it work slowly for the first 20 minutes, yes. And you can't figure out quite why.
The marketplace is a lot more improved as well. They've got a web version, and you can also buy an app and just send it to your phone. So there's no need for desktop sync, which I thought was really, really sweet. You know, just to be in Google Chrome, they had an extension, and they just said send to, you know, device, and it would just wirelessly send it. I thought it was really, really nice. And
no
also
need for that intermediate step. Basically.
No, the other important bit was they've also now got a music store. So
yes.
You know, straight away they've got a competitor to iTunes, from nowhere to probably a really massive market now. There was no mention of deals, about who they've got deals with.
No.
So it was purely just focused on, we can do this.
Yes, so it was more the pushing. It was more about the technology of you just choose something online and it will automatically get sent to your phone. I mean, I guess the App Store does that kind of on the iPhone, doesn't it? But then it does then store that on your local computer when you next sync.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess, and I don't know if that there's then an advantage if you ever have to wipe your phone or reset it. You know, the fact that they're all there and I just plug it in and it resets, even though it takes a couple hours. I don't know if that's good or not compared to having it wirelessly.
Yes, because I imagine the same process would need to happen over the air, which obviously then takes a while to download everything.
Yep. They've bought Simplify Media. I don't know if you've ever tried Simplify Media.
I haven't, no.
Me and Shaquille tried it. It was an app for the iPhone. You installed a client on your Mac or PC, and it allowed you to wirelessly stream from your home computer. All your music. So if you only bought a 16 gig or an 8 gig iPhone, you could still access everything. Worked really well, and you can also access friends' libraries as well. So I could access his, he could access mine. So they've bought that They talked about how it would allow you to stream from iTunes. I'm guessing they'll try and extend that out further rather than it just being iTunes specific. But that's what's there.
I think they talked about it as generic, local stored content. So yeah. The fact that they just showed iTunes was again another dig, really.
Well, I think it's just because at the moment, I think Simplify only works with iTunes.
Right, okay.
So they only announced the purchase on Thursday, so I don't know if it's just a kind of last minute, we've bought this and here's what we can do. But they certainly had an Android client. I don't know if there's been an Android client for Simplify for quite a while. Mm-hmm. I know it was an iTunes ones originally. And I've covered the performance increase already. Then we're on to talk about ads, and I guess they were a bit miffed about iAds, obviously, because Google is all about advertising. You know, we think it's all about this great new software, but really it's about making the money. So I think they covered off 4 or 5 different types of adverts. And I don't know what to say anymore.
There's no need going through it. It was all just about how, you know, I mean, okay, some of their ads looked quite, you know, interesting.
They looked interesting the same way an iAd looked interesting. I don't really care.
I'm pretty sure companies, if you're looking to advertise and get people involved, they would be more excited about that kind of stage of the thing. But yeah, as a consumer and a consumer of media, all they do is make me a little bit worried.
Exactly. They then finished off demoing very quickly the HTC Evo, which is the brand new best Android phone.
They've been building this up in America as the kind of god phone. You know, it's everything, this phone.
Well, it's everything: 4G network support, 8 megapixel camera, HD video recording, front facing camera, an integrated kickstand, which they kept on.
I just love the fact that this phone's got a kickstand on it.
And the best bit about it was everybody at Google I/O got one.
So jealous. I was so jealous.
And I think it was $500 or $600 to attend, and they got a $400 phone. So that's pretty damn good value.
So that's 5,000, well, just over 5,000 people getting a...
Yeah.
Mind you, a lot of them had to give it back because they're not allowed to accept corporate gifts.
Yeah, I did know there was one or two podcasters that had a, oh, I don't accept gifts, but in this case I decided it would be okay. Get a grip, just come out and say you were bought.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it would be okay this time because it was so freaking good.
Yep. So that was the end of the Android mobile stuff. And I've got to say, I was very impressed. Very, very impressed.
Android is almost certainly going to be my next phone.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because I watched that. I thought about all the Apple stuff, which you know about. I then thought back to the Microsoft stuff, and I thought, Microsoft are stuffed.
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, people are still saying Microsoft is good, but Microsoft, I'm pretty sure, is going to be the Palm Pre.
Yeah, I think
it's going to be the WebOS.
It's a two-horse race, and I think that it's already probably starting to become, you know, almost very Android-centric as well. They're going to have the mass market.
Do you know what it is, I think, is that we know what the iPhone 4 is going to look like.
Mm.
We already know what it's going to be like because it's going to be just a slight evolution on what we've already got with the iPhone.
Yep.
And okay, you have the performance increase, and other than that, it'll be exactly the same. There's, you know, there's bits and bobs here and there, but
I don't think it's exactly the same. I can't. Okay. Well,
it's not going to feel very much different to use it.
Oh, front-facing camera. That's not different.
Why is that? That's not going to feel very different, is it, though? I just what I'm saying
I can't
is that
do right now. I'm going to have flash.
You're not getting what I mean. It's going to look the same, and it's going to feel the same, and it's going to do the same, because that's the whole idea of the new phone.
Yeah, but
whereas for me, the Android is now the shiny new thing that, ooh, that looks good, and I will learn different things with it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't see it. I guess it's just you're looking at it from a particular way to try and win the argument. Android's evolving the same as the Apple one's evolving. To turn around
except
and say,
for it's evolving quicker.
Well, it's got to be. How many was that? Was it 21 different OEMs? 60 different devices? All against one company?
Yeah, so it's moving quicker. That's what, and you know, and also just you can hear by the sheer amount of stuff they're doing with it and, you know, and what's going on that it just feels more alive again.
Well,
taking them a while to catch up, but
one of the things I thought was quite... I mean, I've already mentioned all the kind of anti-Apple stuff, and even if I didn't like Apple, I would have been sickened by the whole thing. I mean, I put the comment in just after watching it, you know, that people, and I don't know if it was you, I just say the same people, who used to say to me, Apple keynotes are smug, never again. Google out Apple to Apple in the smugness front. I think that was, it was an hour of, come on.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because when I watched the day one, I thought, what are people going on about? Okay, there were a couple of references
but on day two was just sickening.
The guy definitely got a bit smug. But then again, they're just their standpoint, isn't it? Which is, we don't believe in what Apple do.
Bit I didn't like was he lied. I mean, he stood up and lied because he said that we don't want one person running one company, running one platform, running on one network to be the way forward, and that's why we bought Android. And it's like, no, you bought Android 2 years before iPhone came out. So what was all that about? So, and again, it's just their spin they want to put on it. I just think it's just the threat Apple is to everybody now. You know, and Google are seeing it. I mean, what if Google got locked out of the iPhone?
What do you mean? Sorry, I missed your point. Well,
if Google got locked out of the iPhone, you know, if you look at all of them, everybody's saying mobile is the future. I mean, the only reason Google are doing all this work with Android is to protect their advertising revenue.
Yeah, of course it is. That's because that's their core business. I don't actually partake in this argument that the, you know, mobile devices are going to be the be-all and end-all of the future. I mean, they're only the be-all and end-all at the moment. It's because we've got computers and we take them for granted.
Yeah, but I think usage-wise, you're going to end up doing a lot more mobily.
And I wouldn't disagree with that, but nevertheless, I cannot see the day where any of this works without having a central hub of a main computer.
But we're probably different.
I'm very different. <yeah.
laughs> I'm going back to that 22 hours in a month. You're doing 22 hours in a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, and you're in all your works, you know, you're doing all your work on a computer.
For a general user
who is just buying a laptop to surf and once every couple of years knock up a CV.
Yeah, but that you know, it's one of those things where I think that bit of all once every while do those things, that's where it starts falling down the new direction, if you like.
No,
I don't see it as being this messiah. I think if you took away everything other than mobile devices at the moment, it would be horrible to do anything productivity based.
Or any of it. I just go back to image work, audio work, you know,
anything like that. It's a difference between being possible, which it is, and being usable, which it isn't.
Exactly. And I still see over time, you know, over the next 5 years, I think we'll be seeing less, you know, laptop desktop sales. We'll definitely be seeing more just people relying on mobiles or using mobiles more. I don't just mean mobiles as in a mobile phone. You know, there was no mention of an Android tablet throughout the whole 2 days, which was odd, but I'm sure by the end of the year we'll have an Android tablet sitting there.
There seems no reason why not to. Because it's already got the concept of different screen size and all that stuff built right in. All it requires is, you know, a certain level of hardware, really.
Yes. So, one more environment that Android is looking to get onto is TV. So, Google TV had been rumoured before the press conference, and this was the big unveiling. I won't dwell too much on it because I think it's mostly focused on US at the moment.
Yeah, there's certainly no plan to release over here at the moment.
It's talking about launching the US this year. And if you look at things, you know, like Hulu, which are never coming here by the looks of it, they seem to be very much focused here. But they're basically teaming up with Sony, Logitech, Intel, the kind of primary partners. And this isn't a product launch, it's a service launch, if I put it that way. Initially, it's going to be a box that sits in between your cable or satellite box and your TV, and you can access web content on it. So you can search the entire web. You can, and they're focusing on particularly TV content. So they think the demo, which I'm sure you saw it as well, it wasn't the best demo, but they were searching for House, and it brought back full episodes from a variety of different sites and allows you to easily watch them. And then you can just, you know, one button, go back to TV. There's picture-in-picture modes. You can use it to view photos, play games. It definitely looked interesting, but I think we're going to have to actually wait for devices to come out and see how it actually runs in practice.
In I think the future looking concept of it is that they'll put this stuff inside your existing set top box, so it's actually just an addition to what you've already got.
Or the TV. I mean, I think Sony are saying by the end of the year they'll have TVs with Google TV running on them out.
Again, I was still left a little bit. You know, I didn't quite understand how it all fitted together properly. Things become more streaming orientated rather than watching live TV, it becomes more and more relevant.
Yeah, it felt like boxy. You know, it really did feel.
And I think that's exactly what it is in effect. Yeah. Boxy's never really got a massive foothold, whereas Google could.
If I compare like Boxy and Plex, I mean, certainly Plex does some of the online stuff as well, but it's a lot more focused on managing local content. Boxy lets you manage local content, but is a lot more focused on web TV. And I think this is where this is definitely focusing.
It's the equivalent of the boxy box, isn't it, basically?
Yeah. I mean, they showed you YouTube lean back, so you can push YouTube videos to your TV. A couple of really nice things. Any Android device can control it. So with your mobile phone, you could control Google TV.
Seen more and more of that as well, haven't we, recently, with mobile phones controlling stuff. And it's got a great solution. Keyboard with you. You've got... a way of controlling all your devices in one place. You know, it's like having a multiple remote.
And definitely, I mean, Google have come out and says they see the controller of this as keyboard and mouse or some sort of Android device where you can pull up a keyboard.
Yeah.
They also demoed Google Listen. So Google Listen is already in Android for getting podcasts. So they showed you demo Google Listen so you can subscribe to audio and video podcasts easily. So yeah, it was. I thought it was really interesting, actually. But it will be... It'll be a while before we can see if it actually meets its potential. Apple TV, I'm not saying it's similar, but it's always been a hobby, Apple have called it. And I mean, Plex and Boxy, they've not really got a massive market share.
No, I would say, you know, that this changes the game only because it's a bigger organisation
behind it
who can go and talk to people about licensing on a much more...
Well, Microsoft have talked about, you know, the kind of... You know,
their
TV
media
over
center
IP.
Already does all this.
Yeah, exactly. So Microsoft have been talking about. In fact, a lot of the 2 days made me feel Google was trying to position itself like Microsoft, while at the same time kicking Apple. It didn't feel like they were trying to, because Google and Apple are two very different companies, but Google and Microsoft they're all competing on the same things.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? And what left me after these 2 days was, where the heck is Microsoft in all of this discussion? There's a lot of talk going on around Apple. There's a lot of talk going on around Google, and there's nothing. We haven't heard any direction from Microsoft really.
No, and even if you
all we know is they've cancelled their courier.
Yeah, and if you go back to that announcement, if you go back to the keynote at the start of the year at CES, one of the big things that came out was courier. It was the slate. You know, these are the things that got people talking, and they've gone, which is, I guess, worrying.
We haven't really heard of the sign of Windows Mobile phone series. I don't think there's something they've taken out of that name officially now. I can't remember what it is. It's shorter now.
It's not Windows 7 series.
There you go. So there's that's coming out later in the year, but that's about all we're looking forward to at the moment after their big, you know, Windows 7 release, which I'm sure went very well, which it did go very well.
Yes.
But yes, maybe they're going to be a bit late on their phone, where Android has just taken the high ground on it.
And I do think one of the other things that struck me was, I think Apple have lost a real chance to lead. I think they've sat back deliberately. I mean, they're a lot smaller company than Google and Microsoft and the others. So, you know, I'm saying they've sat back, but I certainly think they had a lead that they no longer have.
I don't think they do at all.
Yeah. So, it was an interesting 2-day conference.
It raised a lot of talking points. It was good. There was a lot of body to it, as far as I could see.
And Froyo's now out. So if you're in America, mm-hmm. Nexus One owners are getting Froyo right now. So we'll get to see real world performance against demo.
Yes, and the Evo for them is out soon. So we'll again, we get to look from afar. Mind you, we've got some pretty good Android phones out here as well. I think.
I think it's fine. I think it's just the, as I said to you at the start of the year, when we've covered the new phones, I think it's just a case of, do I buy one now or do I wait a couple of ones, because there is one better coming.
And it's just making you make your choice when you can, and you just need to live with it and just hope that.
And as most people are saying now, the shorter contracts you can get yourself, it's the better, really.
Yeah, I was just about to say,
especially if you're a bit of a want the latest thing all the time.
Yeah, because there's very little 12-month ones now, but
there's virtually nothing. So it's almost. I mean, that's another good thing about. I guess another good thing about having it so across so many different providers is that you can always go and find the deal that you want if you're prepared to go and look for it.
But I think that argument even's gone on iPhone now with the three different, are different providers there. But
they're all on multiple year license, agreements.
Oh, I hate it.
I don't like it.
I'm pretty sure I'll be getting a new iPhone, and I'm actually just thinking I just need to suck it up and just go for a 2-year contract, and that'll be done with it.
Yeah,
that'll come back to haunt me.
Yeah. Say, I really do object to 2 years. I mean, 18 months has felt like a eternity.
Yeah.
Anyway.
One little tip, but Google Search or Google Secure Search is launched as a beta. Not in the UK, not across images and all their other different things, but if you're just wanting to use the main Google Search, if you go to https://www.google.com, then it'll be a secure search.
Yeah, so that doesn't reduce the amount of information you're sending to Google, but what it does mean is that between you and Google,
and it'll still
no one can spy on what you're searching for.
And it'll still be stored at Google and all other ways, so it doesn't mean you're doing anonymous searching.
Exactly that, but but at least it's secure in transit, and maybe the Google car won't be able to pick up your searches as it's going by. What I thought I'd do now is just, we've had quite a lot of Facebook news. Gosh, we're already 50 minutes into this podcast. We'll be quick. So Facebook quickly, there's still a massive groundswell of negative articles on Facebook and how they're controlling privacy. The Wall Street Journal, so mainstream media outlets also highlighting that advertisers are able to gain user details, which is something that was never supposed to happen.
Some of that looked really shady.
It was the way that the web worked, which advertisers could then grab hold of your details. But effectively, that was never supposed to happen, and it can happen. There's the campaign at the moment to deactivate your Facebook account on May 31st, so a mass protest. Again, I think everyone's saying that, although people are saying they're going to do it on May 31st, I don't think anyone really will, or very few. We're kind of locked into this service at the moment.
I know, and I think it was one of the American tech podcasts I watched last week. Somebody said that they reckon more people, there would be like 10 times as many people would sign up than that would actually quit on that day.
Yeah, I think that's what Facebook said as well. That they said, we're getting,
the volume of people,
how many millions of users.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that.
My issue isn't that. At the end of the day, if you sign up based on the new privacy rules, then I have no issue with that. It's for people who are already on the service, and then they change the rules.
Just make it easy.
You go, and that they have.
It's just horrible, and even. It was Leo Laporte. I watched quitting his Facebook account last week and deleted it. But if you delete it and it says they'll hold it for 2 weeks and then eventually wipe it. If you happen to fire up a game that relies on Facebook Connect and you've already signed up for it, then they'll re-enable your account and your 2 weeks will start again from when you revisit the page and say, I want to delete again, because you've made a mistake, obviously, because you need Facebook. So there's that whole side of it I didn't like. But also there was things around the actual content. Your content won't disappear if you've commented on it or you've liked it.
They don't delete your content full stop, and they have even said they've changed their rules recently to say they can hold it indefinitely for as long as they like.
If I put a picture up that you like or comment on, then my account might disappear, and it'll come from an anonymous poster, but the image will still be there.
Yeah. That your information never disappears effectively from Facebook, and where it goes and stuff.
The way I look at it is, if you use Facebook and you put stuff on it, you don't own that data. You're not in control of that data.
Yes, and I say if you've signed up with those rules in mind, then no worries. But I think when Facebook started up, it was very much not that.
No, definitely not. They've changed over the last 3-4 years. But also, who understands when you're signing up to Facebook that is the case?
Well, when you sign up to Facebook and you put content on it, that content is owned by Facebook from then on. They can do whatever they like with it.
Yeah.
From now until eternity, and they never delete it, and So you effectively sign away everything you put on Facebook forever. It's not good. And the final Facebook bit, just to round up everything that's happened this week, they've kissed and made up with Zynga. Now, Zynga, the people behind Farmville and games like that, Facebook had said that they were going to force Zynga to use the new Facebook currency, which they were going to bring in, which would mean that Facebook would effectively take 30% of everything that Zynga make. Zynga threw their dummies out and said, we'll go and make our own website and not use Facebook. And Facebook have, say, invited them back into the fold. We don't know what the deal was to get them back in, but I'm pretty sure it won't be that Facebook are taking 30% of their sales.
And certainly Facebook, and I think we've said this before, Facebook have got a real dirty image now amongst the kind of tech community.
Yeah, I think actually Google's got a worse image in America somehow. I'm not sure how it works.
Really?
I think we respect Google a bit more than Americans do.
I mean, I know there's a whole issue about, you know, they're scanning your emails and all that kind of stuff, but I feel I understand more about the Google content and what they're doing than I do with something like Facebook.
I think it's almost that Google have held all my content for so long now that, and they haven't done anything bad with
it
yet.
Also, Google never put like your image in an advert that it served to me, whereas Facebook do.
No.
You know, and stuff like that was just wrong. There's just things Facebook have done. I mean, was it Facebook Connect that they wanted to do? And Beacon, that was the word, Facebook Beacon. It was that whole nonsense that eventually got shouted down, so...
Well, I went when the election, the speeches were being broadcast online, I went to the ITV site and there I was logged into Facebook on their site.
Mm.
And that made me query, you know, the fact that they can be monitoring anything you do online. I definitely didn't sign into the ITV website. It just picked up that I was,
if you go into,
had a Facebook cookie or whatever.
If you go into Digital Outbox with the comment plugin that we're using, you can actually comment as a Facebook user without having to log in. It just obviously knows your login to Facebook or your cookie is still current. And hence I've picked this up and I'm now quite happy to let you comment as a Facebooker.
My angle on it is that I mean, I'm very well aware that I'm pretty much locked into Facebook because I want to have the contacts in one place. But I am more than sceptical about putting anything on it.
Yeah, I'm the same. I don't put any of my images up at all.
I certainly wouldn't use it how I see other people use it, which is plastering everything up.
No, I don't even... Really says a man that's playing blooming Mafia and all sorts of nonsense that I keep needing to block. But it's like I don't play any games on it. I don't even really... I comment on other people's activity, but I still use either Twitter or the blog or my own blog or other devices rather than Facebook. And I know Facebook's probably for the people that don't want to bother with their own blog and all that kind of stuff, and it is nice to keep in touch, but it's just not a big service for me.
I just see some of the stuff that, you know, people put up there, young people put up there, and it's like, whoa, you know, you just don't know that that's going to affect your ability to get a job, or you don't know that that's going to stay there forevermore, and that viewpoint just broadcast is going to hang with you.
Yeah, and it is getting used for that. I know it shouldn't be, but it does. And it's noticed that people forget they were young ones as well.
No one that's posting this kind of stuff up on Facebook can ever become a politician. it's there forevermore for everyone to sort of see what
never
you said
stopped,
when you
never stop Cameron. They just buy off the images to suppress it all.
He never inhaled.
Yeah, that'd be just, no, I'm not gonna stop.
We better move on. So Spotify released a couple more different account types. So they, as well as their £10 a month, which gives you access to ad-free on your PC and also mobile access, they've got a £5 limited account now, which means that your desktop usage can be ad-free. So £5 to have your desktop ad-free.
Ad-free,
anyone
can
sign up for that. Yep. You don't have to have an invite. And they've also got there's also opened up their platform to what's it called, Open Free or something.
No, there's no Spotify Open, which is free.
And that's it.
You don't need an invite, but you're limited to 20 hours a month. So
which maybe that's probably as much as I ever use it for anyway.
Yeah, but I just think it's dead easy to get an invite off people. I mean, I've got loads of invites and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure if you really wanted one, you could find it. But maybe, you know, if you just want to sign up, I'm sure once you've been signed up for a while, you can swap over or do something different. I can't believe you'd be locked onto Spotify Open or pay me £5.
I think the daily pass has been dropped now as well. So the 99p for the day, free adverts,
Right, okay.
has gone. So they've got different options here.
But certainly it's hotting up in the streaming market. But I don't know, that there's been a few stories about they're struggling to make money. You know, that maybe it's not been as profitable as once thought.
Yes, I don't know. They seem to be sticking around for the long haul. They've certainly not disappeared quite as quick, have they?
But not in America. Still not launched.
No.
It's one of the few services that you see a lot of Americans moaning about that they can't access.
I guess you've got to be, you know, if you launch in America, though, the sheer number of people, you've got to sure that your infrastructure can cope and expand to cope with that, because that the data charges on something like that would be absolutely astronomical.
Yeah.
HP have announced kind of what they're going to be doing with WebOS. They bought WebOS from Palm. And they're basically going to whack it onto their printers, netbooks, phones, and tablets. So they're going to use it across their broad range of stuff, I guess.
Which kind of makes sense. I guess it's an equivalent of Android, really, except they'll keep it for HP only.
Yeah, but I guess that's my point, really. Or I've put down here is that really $1.2 billion well spent? I mean,
well, it depends.
If you're just going to use it as an interface for a printer or a photocopier or something, it's not really what's needed, is it?
No, but for phones and tablets, I mean, the Palm P wasn't a bad phone.
It's not opening up, is it? That's like we just said already today. Android works because it's open. Apple because it had the lead in the market.
Android's working because it's open. But Apple came from nothing.
Yeah, but I think it was first to market, wasn't it? That's the advantage they've held.
It wasn't the first smartphone to market. I think it was the first. I'm going to say this one. It's going to be probably wrong, but the first next generation. I think it was a leap ahead of everything else at the time.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the WebOS when Palm brought it out was I am catching up and I'm still not quite there. And I think that's the difference.
But then it's now just going to be sat on HP devices, and so now it lives or fails based on HP, and I don't think there's no enticement to actually go and buy an HP thing because it's got WebOS.
No.
And the support for it is always going to be massively limited. So I just think, you know, there's better things to be spending that kind of money on.
But what a sexy printer interface that's going to be.
You can ping things with your fingers and like.
The thing about printers that always amazes me is the ones that you pay £70 and you get an LCD screen and you've got all this stuff in it, and you think there's no way you're making it. It's all back to the ink, isn't it?
That's exactly why in every single box they say do not use anyone else's ink because it will break it. Yeah. When it just generally means it's because we won't make our money back. Mubi comes to PS3.
Yeah, Mubi? So final story. This is just a quickie, really. Mubi is an online streaming service, and it's for movies, but it's not your kind of blockbuster movies that are out now. It's for independent, international, and classic cinema. So from autumn, UK PSC owners can download the Mubi app on their PS3, and then they'll be able to three different subscription options. You can pay-per-view, rent for a week, or you can pay a monthly subscription, and it's all you can eat if you've got the monthly subscription. So I think it's just for me, what just stood out is it's another example of just I really do think between the two consoles, the PS3, if you're into cinema in any way, it just stands out as being like, you know, a real strong choice. Mm-hmm. They've got a video store, they've got the movie, the music video store there as well, and bringing this along as well, just something a bit different. And that will be. Autumn, they've said.
Okay. Good for PS3 open owners.
Yeah, well...
Oh, yeah, but when do I win my deal on...
End of June.
Is that when it is?
Yeah, well...
What do I get? Is it a Mars bar?
I'm going to send you a Mars bar through the post. I'm going to pick the hottest day of the year.
Dripping through my door.
I might even deep fry it, seeing as I'm from Scotland.
Lovely.
But seemingly what they've said is in the next few weeks we will definitely reveal the date and we'll stick to that date because they have admitted that they gave a date of March and that kind of went by and then they kept saying, yeah, it's not ready yet.
Well, we've got E3 coming up very shortly, haven't we?
And that is, and by the way, that's Gran Turismo we're talking about. Just for anybody listening thinking, what are they ranting about?
I
did say that at
the beginning. Maybe I didn't. I just didn't listen
to you, to be honest.
Podcast gold. It's not in here, but I thought we'd just mention Red Dead Redemption.
Not that we've droned on enough.
Yeah. You think we have?
No, no, I think we should mention Red Dead Redemption just purely for the fact that I can play some music in the background.
Oh, let's do it.
So, Red Dead Redemption.
Yes, so Red Dead Redemption is, in effect, is Wild West game, based on the kind of Grand Theft Auto mechanic built by the same people. But it is realised in a very attractive and amazing way, really.
So, you do feel like a cowboy.
Yeah.
I'm not a cowboy from Brokeback Mountain. I hasten to add.
It's, if that's what you want to do in the game, that's up to you. I don't think you get
really?
Far.
There's bombing in Red Dead Redemption.
The graphics and the stuff. I mean, it's not the best. It's not the strongest graphics engine in the world. You know, you see artifacts
really?
And stuff and pop up. I think the way they use it is just utterly beautiful.
I was saying to one of the guys at work. So the Grand Theft Auto, if you think back to the trailer when they played that kind of, that had the music on it, and everybody was like, "Wow, this is so immersive and feels like you're in a cinema or whatever, feeling the movie." I never felt like that when I was playing the game, but the first sort of 10-15 minutes of Red Dead,
it's incredible.
I just thought this.
The opening scene knocks
stunning.
You out.
Stunning, yeah, yeah. The whole thing looks stunning, and even just the whole transition from day to night. You're sitting out at night and you're looking up, you see all the stars, you see the moon. Everything looks amazing. So, to your point, I mean, there is some pop-up, like one of the early missions, you're riding into a kind of some hilly, sort of hilly range in a little narrow valley, and you can see the texture pop-up on it.
I mean, I've seen some technically more advanced engines, you know, rendering games and stuff.
Yeah, but
none of them paint the picture like this paints a picture.
No.
I mean, they're... their intro screen is a kind of randomly generated bit of scenery at a random time of day, and they're that confident in their engine, and rightly so, that they know it's going to look pretty stunning.
I mean, single player. I mean, certainly the early missions that I've done, I've loved them. I thought they were all very good.
And so far, I don't know how many hours I've played now, but it's a fair few, I guess.
I've only maybe done about sort of 3 or 4, so I'm not heavily into it yet.
But they keep it keeps changing, and you know, bits of the world open up. And again, this isn't really a review as such because we're nowhere near scratching the surface of it. But you know, there's plenty of other areas that get unlocked as you go through side missions, and you know, they never really feel like side missions. That's the kind of the way it feels.
One of the first things I did was I just went and had a game of poker.
Takes, you know, a good 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, I was sitting playing poker, and the guy was actually, because I thought this was just better. It wasn't that easy. I wasn't, you know, and I was up, but not by much. So then I started doing a few, just all in, and I lost. And I walked away, and I was like, hold on, he's taking my money. And I turned around and shot him. Took my money back, and straight away I was into the whole crap I'm wanted. I stepped
You're
out
wanted,
and,
yeah.
And everybody was like, ooh, and running away. And then the sheriff came, and I shot the sheriff, and boy.
Oh, that's not good.
I had hell to pay.
So did you have to pay a fine to clear your name?
Yeah, I had to pay $120. And because it was the start of the game, I didn't have that much money. So I had to go in, and that's when you start to. Doing things like that just starts to open up the game, and you can play it.
You get all the bounty hunters on you.
You get bounty hunters on too, but you too can bounty hunt on other people, and then you can do missions for people. You can do, you know, menial tasks. There's a whole lot of things you can go and do to earn money. But I've loved it more than I've loved it more than GTA 4.
Yes, I think for me as well. I went back to GTA 4 not too long ago, and it's still a stunning. Epic game, but this feels in GTA 4 you felt much more mission orientated. This feels much more flowing, and you just pick different things and decide what you want to go and do, really.
And we had a quick crack at multiplayer tonight before we came on.
God, that was manic.
And the first, and I guess our kind of go-to multiplayer game is Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily because we've played it so much over the years, but also just been playing Halo Reach, not Recon, over the last couple of weeks.
I would say it was Recon would be my game of choice, but they haven't released one recently.
No, but end of the year.
I know. I'm
end
looking
of the
forward
year.
To it.
Although I'm not sure I'm looking forward to all the tricked out tech that's in it. Blind Siege, bring it.
Yes.
Blind Siege isn't there as an option.
We probably haven't got enough players around anymore to actually manage to grab
together
enough.
Blind Siege isn't there as an option, I would be very annoyed. Anyway, multiplayer we played tonight, and it was a bit confusing. You're in this kind of open free roam area that you then form a game out of. But once we got going, it was fantastic.
The funnest bit, is that the right word? No, the best bit for me was at the beginning of each round, you have a kind of standoff situation where you stand off against the opposition and you basically you just quick draw McGraw on it. It's brilliant.
I don't think I'll get tired of that.
No, I don't think that I'll ever get tired.
And it certainly feels, I still have some issues with some of the aiming and some of it feels a bit kludgy, and I had a kind of couple of graphical glitches, but overall I enjoyed it without ever doing very well.
Certainly the last two games that we played, I was much more into it. I was a bit more au fait with the control system.
Yeah, but it's getting...
I didn't feel so manic.
But the maps are all new and you don't know your way around and you don't really know what you're doing. It's all kind of like, you're lost. But for me, if you've got an Xbox or a 360, a 360 or a PS3, I would say this is a must-have game.
Yep. I think we haven't covered it here because I don't think any of us got a Wii. Maybe one of us has, I don't know.
Is it only a Wii?
No, but the Mario Galaxy 2 is out soon, and that's getting 10 out of 10 reviews as well. So
yeah.
I haven't got a Wii to know.
No, I don't think I'm ever going to buy a Wii for one game.
No, I don't think so either. But I think we'll see E3, and I guess that'll... be our next big talking point for games and stuff. So,
oh yes,
that'll be I don't even know when it is. It's not that long away, though, is it?
It's June.
There we go. So our June podcast will be busy with games, I'm sure. Let's have a. That's all the
June
news done.
June 15th to 17th.
Okay.
So,
just under a month away.
Yeah.
That's all the news done. Sorry, it's dragged on a bit. Google did talk a lot this week, but let's have a look at. Your pick, Ian?
My pick is SpringPad, which is basically a site that lets you save things you want to remember. And when I say it's a site, it's a web app alongside an iPhone and Android application. All are free. And you can save things like to-dos, recipes, movies, books, tasks. It supports lists. I can add friends to it to see what they're doing, share tasks or things with them as well. The actual iPhone app I thought was really quite nice. And I guess it's just one of these things. It's whether it gets the feature support and whether it starts to get APIs and people can add it into their other apps as well. But
how do you get stuff in it at the moment? How do you put things in it?
Either via the app or via the website. So if I was on the website right now, I can say add a task and give it a title and pick a date, and that task gets added. And I can add tasks to lists. So if it certainly looks off the bat. I mean, it's not as comprehensive as something like Remember the Milk, but it's got list support and I can add tasks to lists, so I could probably set up lists for different projects I'm doing, so you can do a bit of that getting things done type methodology if you're wanting to do it.
If you're using Remember the Milk, though, is this really offering any more? Is it?
No.
Not really. So
no.
But it is a nice slick
but
thing.
I think if you're wanting one environment to do, so for me, Remember the Milk is very much focused on tasks and tasks only. Mm. Whereas this is letting you do tasks, but it's also got the concept of I want to add a movie and I want to watch a movie and then I've watched that movie. So I think it's trying to bring a number of different services together as one.
So effectively you could put your movie, like you might have a wish list on Amazon or whatever,
you could
put a movie wish list and you can share that with your friends. And
yes.
Buy me these.
Buy me these, please. So there's one to keep your eye on because I think it's fairly new. And as I said, I was quite impressed with the iPhone app.
That was SpringPad.
SpringPad.
Okay, my pick, simple this week, is a bit of a dodgy one. I have stolen it from you, Ian. You tweeted up during the week about the new Nike Write the Future ad.
Yeah.
Which I did watch with an element of scepticism until it showed Wayne Rooney as an old man with a beard. It was brilliant. From a trailer trash.
You're from around here.
Yeah. So it was, it's an advert, but it's kind of one of those adverts which you can tell that this, it's got full on cinema properties in there, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's three, I think it's 3 odd minutes. And I just thought it was a great ad.
The whole concept of the ad is, the difference between success and failure, greatness and nothingness is all in the moment. Some people have said it's kind of a sad reflection on the fact that, you know, that's what happens in modern society, but whatever.
But it is, you know, it's like, you know if Rooney, scores a winning goal in the World Cup final, he's going to be Sir Wayne Rooney.
Yes, well, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's yeah. You know, look at somebody like Beckham.
But just a brilliantly done bit of...
Well, the way it was shot was great. The music used was great. There's a lot of humour in there as well. And it's just not your traditional, typical advert, especially coming up to World Cup. I mean, some of the other World Cup adverts are awful. Really yes. bad.
Mind you, the Carlsberg one's very good. Have you seen the Carlsberg one?
Yeah, but there's a... I'm trying to remember the other football one where they're all kind of running around in Africa and you're just like, what are you doing, man? It was just that's really like...
Pepsi Max one.
They're trying to be funny.
Yes.
Hey, I'm lost! Hey! So, do you know that nonsense?
If you haven't seen... If you haven't seen the advert already, it's gone from Vimeo now. It's only on YouTube as far as I can tell.
It?
Yeah. That's so you need to type Nike Write the Future and then you should be able to find it.
Yes. I was just going to say, just as I was mentioning Lost, one of the things, and I wasn't going to mention, in fact, it's pointless me mentioning it because by the time the podcast it's already been
it's
shown.
Too late. Yes.
But I thought it was quite slick that Sky are bringing out Lost tomorrow morning. Just so
they're trying to beat the hackers, I guess.
Beat the pirates.
Plot spoilers.
It's a plot, but I won't be on Twitter tomorrow. And I've already seen some people on my Twitter stream saying nobody's allowed to spoil Lost for us Brits. And it's like, well, hold on a minute. You shouldn't use the service. If somebody wants to talk about it, they can talk about it.
Exactly.
It's
that.
Going
You've
to be
got
a
to
massive
make it your
yeah,
mission.
It's, you can't invoke that in everybody else. You know,
so how long the last episode? It's airing tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Yes,
And is it 2.5 hours or something?
I think
stupid.
So. I think so.
So that's not even if you get up at 6, there's not enough time to get to watch it before work.
Well, I'm at work at 10 to 7, so I'm kind of stuffed.
Yes,
but right. I could. I'm not going to watch it. I'll record
it's just
it,
so that you've got to
home.
Risk it for a day, and I guess most other people that you're around during the day are going to be in the same situation.
Exactly.
I don't even know why I'm that worried about getting it spoilt because
well,
it's been a.
How gutty would you be if somebody on Twitter just went, "So Lost was all about this"?
Well, we already know it's all about.
I know, but
really,
but you know what I mean. There's probably a couple of twists coming up that nobody knows about. I mean, it's like Ashes to Ashes, and I don't know if you watch it, but I really enjoyed the end of Ashes to Ashes, and if Lost is as good as Ashes to Ashes ending, then. It's going to be a good 2.5 hours.
You know what? I'm not holding my breath.
No, I think they'll screw up somehow.
We're all going to be left disappointed somehow. Anyway, that's the end of our podcast. Sorry, it's been a mammoth.
You said you were going to be brief.
I was
1 hour 16 minutes.
I keep trying to be brief and then things get strung out. Anyhow, if you want to find out more, though, why after that you want to, digitaloutbox.com, email info@digitaloutbox.com, and we are on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. Where can we find more about you?
My blog is END.net, where I'll be writing up the tales of war on my MacBook Pro, which is no more.
Oh, no.
Which does mean I'm buying an iPad this week.
Yeah, it's basically made your mind up, hasn't it?
Aye. And on Twitter, I sweep up.
Like it wasn't made up before. And I am on, my blog is chrishutchinson.org.uk, and I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK. And we will see you maybe, in a couple of weeks this time?
One last thing.
Oh, go
our next episode will be episode 50. Woohoo!
Hey.
And it will be 1 year since our first one. Woohoo! So we
Exciting
might try
stuff.
And do something slightly different, which basically means I need to get my finger out. So chances are we won't do anything different and you'll turn up and go, Christ, what was that?
That's the problem with bigging things up before they happen, isn't it?
Hey.
Anyway, we'll see you next time.
Cheers.
It's good to have the music back.
Yay. I'm going to do a lot more than that. So I'm going to have things ready for me to play, which I know I've kept on threatening to do, but...
We've been around... We've been... For a year, we definitely need some themes now, theme tunes.
Oh, hi-ho, it's home to Murphy's Gold.
It's all
theme
there,
tunes
baby.
Theme and catchphrases, we need to rock and roll with them.
She.
So, do you know what? I can't be bothered doing any more recording. I just want to go and shoot cowboys.